Chavis Holdovas here for the women. Shar HaBitachon, Wednesday afternoon. It is Yud Adubeis, Tov Shin Ayin Dalid. Okay, we're in Chavis Holdovas, Shar HaBitachon, we're in Perek Dalid. And Chavis Holdovas has his list of how to apply Bitachon to various situations. And we are up to number 4 on the list, which is when it comes to mitzvahs. And in mitzvahs there will be numbers 4 and 5. And 4 is, meanwhile, the doing mitzvahs that don't involve another person. It's just your personal chiyuv, no one else is involved. Fasting, taking challah, taking a lulav, sukkah, Shabbos, yom tovim, and all of the chovos halavavos, which are really only bein adam la'atzmo, only he is involved. So he says, when a person makes a decision to do something, he analyzes it, the chovos halavavos, and he splits it up into three moving parts. I said that l'chora this applies to any decision, but not really, because according to the Chavis Halvavos, if you're deciding something that's not Bechira, so then it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's determining what's going to happen and what you're going to choose and what you're going to do. And your decision is, I mean, you might think you're deciding. You may have a predisposition for chocolate ice cream, but Hashem wants you to have chocolate ice cream, so He created you a certain way, so you have that desire for chocolate ice cream as opposed to vanilla ice cream. I picked that as an example of not Bechira, because they're both Tov. There's no Tov and Ra. You could make a case that anything that is not an exercise of self-control is really a step in the wrong direction. Because the Chavis Halvavos in other places in the Sefer says that the main point of the Torah, amazing Chiddush, are exercises in self-control. But we won't go there. We'll stick to the mitzvahs and the averus. And so he says, Bechira, when you're making Bechira and you're making a choice, that's our province, and Hashem is not involved in that, so to speak. He says, he's not in the first two parts. The decision to do it, this is how we learned, the decision to do it is number one, and the plan of implementation is number two, we'll leave it at that, or the decision to do it, or maybe the desire to do it, you want to do it, and then the decision that you're actually going to do it. We had different explanations of the first two, but that's all in the Bechira. And the actual doing of it is up to Hashem. Up to Hashem, because the car might not start, and I might get stuck in a traffic jam, and I may have realized that I forgot to buy flour yesterday. So that's all up to Hashem, if I'm actually going to carry out the mitzvah even. So, we're up to the words, I don't know how you're following, page, with the Lev Tov and some prints, it's the top of page Shin Mem Gimel. The Ahefresh, the reason there is this difference, Shebein Avodas Habore, Ushar Maaseh HaOlam, Binyan HaBitachon Belokim Yisbarach. He knows, he's explaining why is there no Bitachon when it comes to mitzvahs. So, really, I mean, the simplest way of explaining it is the way I just did, and it can be explained in just a couple of seconds. That it's up to you when you have Bechiras, Hashem doesn't mix in, because He wants you to choose, because that's what life is all about, making choices between Tov and Ra, Bechira. That's why we came down to this world, to choose between good and evil. So, but he just explains it, he elaborates, and he says, Shashorin Yoni Ha'olam, he says, you can't talk about, he's really explaining why chocolate or vanilla ice cream is not Bechira. And he really says, because there's no Tov and Ra, and we don't know what'll work and what won't work. We're deciding what job to take. We don't know which job will give me a parnasa and which job won't give me a parnasa. We don't know what will make me, if it's not mitzvahs are clear cut. Hashem gave us the Torah, says this is what you have to do and this is what you're not allowed to do. So we know how to choose. And we're told, "Ubacharta b'chayim," we know what to choose. But in life, he says, it wouldn't even make sense, because how do we know what to choose? It's all up in the air. We don't know. We don't know what's good, what's not good. So you say, well, we would go to statistics. That's what we would do. What do people do? They go to a job counselor and they start talking statistics. But that's really foolishness, as we all know. You have people who have doctors, lawyers who don't have enough to eat. And the plumbers and garbage men are doing great. So we ascribe it to Teva, but it's really the top of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much money you're going to have. So he says the reason that there's no, you need bitachon, and you can't just say, well, we'll leave it up to the person, because there is no Tovin Ra, so we don't know what's Tovin Ra. We don't even know what works and what doesn't work. How can we choose? Lo niglu lono ofani atova rab sibu minasibos mi baladesha erisam. Lo ofani ahetsed v'rab b'ktsasam b'ktsasam. We don't know what works, what doesn't work, what's going to get me ahead, what's not going to get me ahead. We don't know. So that puts us like, that points us towards bitachon. We have to rely on Hashem to make it successful, to make it happen. Klo amadnu aleizu malachom al hamalachos shetova lanu, that's good. What's good for our health, what's not good. So again, we think, we do know. We think that this field gives you money and this field doesn't, but it's not true. It's not true. And as long as you're above the hishtadlus line, meaning you're not doing something silly, you're not trying to sell saddles for horses in a motorized society, if you're not doing something silly, so that you have to go above the level of ishtadlus, that's always true. But then, there's no, oh, this is gonna work, and this is not gonna work, people have all kinds of grandiose schemes, and it's for sure gonna work, and then it doesn't work, right? More often than not, it doesn't work. And people who just plod along and daven and have bitachon, right? It just takes off. And they look back and say, wow, how come everything clicked? I have a lot of money. Below base of schoru, base of derech, base of maisim, and a maisim holomi, and netzliach, and a skalgol bohen. So therefore he says it's like compelling. It makes sense to be boteach b'Hashem, because we're not endowed with the knowledge. This job worked and this job didn't work, but we don't know what works and what doesn't work, because you have all kinds of different situations, all kinds of different things. That's Hashem's in charge, and it's not possible for me to choose a profession that makes a lot of money and that I will get, like I am guaranteed. But tov you could always pick. There will always be tov at the end of the rainbow. You know, if, when it comes to mitzvahs and averus, so you know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. So there you pick. That's not a problem. So you know what to pick, and Hashem is telling us, "Ubacharta b'chayim," and I'll give you a reward if you're bacharta b'chayim. U'minadin aleinu, and therefore, when it comes to these matters, it only makes sense in iftach belokeinu b'bechiroseinu, when we choose between refrigerators. We don't know which refrigerator is going to last the warranty period and break the next day, and which refrigerator is not going to last the warranty. We know Hashem, we have this vague general idea that Hashem does what's best for us, but we don't know what that is, so how could we can't choose, he's saying. We really can't choose. We have nothing to base our choice on. Again, this is strange words to us, because we're used to sitting down and saying, let's see, dentists make money, and doctors make money, and lawyers make money, and people stocking shelves don't make money, and people who are postal assistants don't make money, and so on and so forth. But it's not true. And it's hard to come to terms with that, but once you're above the line of ishtadlus, once your job earns you subsistence, once it keeps you like at the poverty level or above the poverty level, whatever, you know, then everything else is like, you did yours and nothing else matters anymore. And that's what he taught us previously, in the previous piece. But you know, if we don't think so, we don't think so. It's hard for us to digest that. You think bitachon is not so easy. So we have to have trust and rely on Hashem after we do our hishtadlus, and we have to daven we have to ask Hashem, you know, let me pick the right merchandise. I have to order for the winter season, for the spring season, for the fall season. Let me make a good choice. You daven to Hashem. You have your expertise. Hashem granted you a certain expertise, but you have to realize, by saying primarily, it's up to Hashem, right? You could pick the best, you know, the latest, latest fashions or whatever, and then, you know, doesn't sell. Doesn't go. I talked to Meir Zlatowitz of Art Scroll. The books that he just assumes for Dover Pushit is going to be a hot seller, doesn't move off the shelves. Go figure. Doesn't move off the shelves. I'm not going to say which book. I want you to buy it. And the books that are the sleepers, you know, he threw the author a bone because he had a publisher's book. What can you do to some people you can't say no to? It takes off. And it becomes the best hot seller. And who knew? It's every like that in every profession. You can become study for 10 years to become a doctor, and then you end up under Obamacare. Now what are you going to do? Right? You can end up. People went into real estate in Lakewood and other places, and then all of a sudden, it bottomed out, or the high tech bubble burst. So you can't choose. You can't choose based on that. People go to job, whatever it's called.
Job counselors.
Don't go. You're wasting your money. What should you do? Follow the Chavis Halavis' advice. Take something you're good at, A. B, something you like to do, job satisfaction, B. And C, something that's a positive contribution to the world. Something that positively contributes to civilization. That's the Chavis Halvavus' job counseling, and he doesn't even charge. And I'm adding to that something that seemingly will give you at least substance level. It'll allow you to make ends meet, because then it's normal hishtadlus. That's the Chavis Halvavus doesn't insist on. But he says, once you pass that, saying I will do that because it's going to get me more money, it doesn't work. It does work. So the answer is, your child needs orthodontal work, and someone smashed into the back of your car, and the gunner broke into your house and stole your jewelry, and these happens every day. So again, we look at it the wrong way. We say, Baruch Hashem, I have this job, so I have extra money to make up my loss. You don't realize the gunner broke in because you had all this extra money laying around that Hashem doesn't want you to have. So he had to take it away from you somehow. Sometimes he takes it away in a good way. You marry off a daughter. Then all the money flies out the window. They gave me the bill for the shaitel. I said, you sure you don't want to wear a tichel? So that's how it works. And again, this is the Chavis Halvavus. It's not going to make a difference. What will make you earn money, again, to say, and if Hashem wanted you to have more money, again, it's not as simplistic. As I said then, if you're supposed to have more money, let's assume for a moment doctors have more money generally. So Hashem maneuvered your life that you will become a doctor so that you will have more money. But you're not having more money. So in a sense, you know, if someone says to you, or to me, Rabbi Emelin, it's sophistry what you're saying. It's not true. The garbage men, they're probably a very good parnasa. Yeah. The people stocking shelves are barely making ends meet. And the doctors are driving Lexuses. So the answer is, first of all, it's not muchrich. I know doctors in Muncie that get Shabbos packages from Tomchei Shabbos, first of all. But more importantly, yeah, that might be true. But that, again, the way it works is Hashem goes there when the person was born, if it will be an usher or an ani, and then maneuvered his life, then he's going to go to medical school and become a doctor. So it's just the way Hashem carries out his gezeira. That's not it's not really making a difference. If my son said to me last week, he said, "Tati, I'm all depressed." I said, "Welcome to the club." I said, "What's the matter?" He says, "He's a Rebbe in Kesher, and he hasn't gotten paid for a very, very long time." So he says, and here I am thinking, I'm Moshe Nefesh to teach these boys. I'm not being Moshe Nefesh. No matter what I'd be doing, I would have this amount of money. That's very depressing. He says, "I'm not even being Moshe Nefesh." Very good question. I didn't have what to answer him for a day or two. And I said, but you're being Moshe Nefesh because the perception, in other words, you normally would go on to something else. Even the Chavis Havoda says, if something's not working, you go on to something else. So he said, maybe the Mesirus Nefesh is not in the job you've chosen to do, but certainly in sticking it out after all these months. So that's an element of Mesirus Nefesh, because if you'd be selling widgets and you'd be holding in the financial position you're in, then you would go on to something else. And Hashem's pushing you to do something else. So I say, you know, you could say, maybe Hashem's pushing me to, you know, to go out there, not to be a parasite. So you're sticking it out because you feel it meets the other criterion of the Chayav HaLevavos, and it is a living wage if you would get paid. So hang in there. But it was a very, very, very good question. I was very proud of the question of him for asking. It's really a deep question, and it really is a very, very good question. But here, that's what the Chavis HaLevavos is saying here. He's saying an interesting thing. Now, again, I would have just said in 10 seconds, here you have Bechira, it's your province, and everything else, you don't have Bechira, so it's Hashem's. The Chavis HaLevavos elaborates. He says it doesn't make sense to say that I should choose things that are not Tov or Ra, because I don't know what's good for me, I'm making a choice, because I want to get to the goal. I want to make money, I'm choosing a job. I want to have friends, I want to go to this school. And so on and so forth. But the brother says, you don't know. You're shooting in the dark. It doesn't make sense even to say it's up to you. He's going deeper into it, he's elaborating. He says, it's not logical to say it's up to you. So of course it's up to Hashem, because there's no telling something's. You look around, he says, the things that you think will make you popular and have friends and whatever have the opposite effect. And the things that, you know, the life is very complicated. It doesn't end up the way you think it's going to end up. So it doesn't make sense to say, Hashem has given, the Torah says, "Ubachayta b'chayim," choose good things. So I would have simply said, if it's not good and bad, if it's chocolate or vanilla ice cream, so it doesn't say b'charta, you don't really choose. Hashem maneuvers you into what he wants to happen. He says it doesn't make sense to say you get to choose, because what are you choosing between? It's not tov v'ra, right? And what you think is good and moil and will be a good thing to do, it works out the other way around. It's only the Torah and mitzvahs that we know that it's clear. This is good. This is bad. As I said at the end of last week, this is not really sufficient, because the biggest complaint I get, the biggest question I get, is I'm faced with two choices, neither of which are clear cut. I mean, it's not clear cut what I'm supposed to do. What do I do in such a case? My husband wants me to do this, my kids, my kids want me to do that, my mother wants me to do that, and Pesach, and, you know, and like that. I don't know what the right thing to do is. That's many of our choices. And those are difficult. The Chavis doesn't cover that. So, you know, sometimes halacha dictates what to do. And the layman doesn't realize it. He has a rav, because it could be like with a parent versus child versus spouse versus Pesach versus this, you know, so sometimes halacha dictates what to do, so you check about that. And after that, if halacha doesn't dictate it, then it's true, there's no, sometimes there is right and wrong, it's like a Chovas Halvavas thing. Much of the time, it's maybe not Chavetz Chabad does not cover this point. It's maybe not a mitzvah or an aveira, but it is the correct thing to do. And the Chavetz Chabad does, I just realized now this second, Baruch Hashem, does talk about it in the last Shar Avos Hashem, where the Oiv Hashem is concerned beyond mitzvahs and aveiras, but he wants to please Hashem. He wants to do things that are the Ratzon Hashem. So if you come, let's say, to a Rav or a friend, and you say, I'm okay with doing what's right, but I don't know what's right. Really, I think the best way to frame it is, let's try to figure out what Hashem wants you to do. Now that's dangerous, because many people in history have done very bad things because they think Hashem wants them to do that. And so it's, you see, when we're handcuffed or straitjacketed with mitzvahs and averus, so this is what Chagavah says, you know, we know what Hashem wants us to do and what He doesn't want us to do. But when we say, should I, let's say from a man's perspective, should I help my wife put the kids to sleep, but then I'll have to daven Ma'ariv without a minyan? Or should I tell her, sorry honey, you know, I don't want to miss minyan, you know, because I know once I miss minyan, that's it, I'll be missing minyan left and right for the next. That's how men are, you know. Once you miss minyan once, it's over. So what should you do? So you ask the Rav. So maybe there's a shalom halach involved many times, because rather Ma'ariv was not a good example. Ma'ariv Mincha is a tough shayla. Ma'ariv is like Rishus, it's called. So I don't want to give you the answer now. I don't want you to beat up your husbands. But it's a shayla. No, so you say, what's the Ratzon Hashem? That really should be the framed question. When we, I'm explaining, when we struggle with these shaylas and we say, what good is this Chodesh Halvodus? There's no mitzvah naveira here. So I'm saying he does talk about it in Shar Avos Hashem. In fact, he says, this is why I wrote my Sefer. Because if your heart's in the right place, and you do the Chovos HaLevavos that I've trained you to do, through Shar HaYichud, and Shar HaBechina, and Shar HaVodos HaLokim, and Shar HaBitochon, and Shar Yichud HaMaisa, and Shar HaKaniya, and Shar HaTeshuva, right? If you go through the Sefer, and you develop your heart, your mind, and you develop it as a lover of Hashem, because that's like the mountaintop, that's the peak of the mountain, Shar Avos Hashem, then he says the Oev Hashem, the mitzvahs and averus are kid stuff, baby stuff, it's like for the first graders. He wants to go, he or she want to go beyond that, and they want to please Hashem at all times in everything they do. What is pleasing to Hashem? What does Hashem want? So the person you ask, really the solution to the problem, and to say that Chavis HaLovas doesn't deal with that, it's not fear, because I get that all the time, like, it's not fear, I want to do the right thing, but I don't know what the right thing is. But so sometimes, it's a little dangerous, again, when we don't have a Shulchan Aruch and a mitzvah and an Aveira, so then it's dangerous. But sometimes, if you frame the question as, what does Hashem want me to do, you know, I get embarrassed and say, oh, of course, I know what the answer is. All of a sudden you know what the answer is, if you frame it that way. What does Hashem want me to do? So that's, that works 60-70% of the time. Right. Sometimes you have it's tougher, like, what does Hashem want me to do? I don't know. Then you have to go ask a Shaila. Or you should ask a Shaila. Okay, but getting back to what the Chavis HaLovas is saying, he doesn't enter that gray area. He makes it very black and white here. And again, he's explaining the logic in saying, he says, everything else other than mitzvahs, it's not up to us. And then he says, logically, it wouldn't be up to us, because we have no way of choosing. Because we're only choosing, we don't know what's good for us, what's bad for us. But we just go our merry, we do what we think is okay, and then we dive into Hashem, lehoir levavenu, lebechiris hatova, v'ruya lonu mehem. We pray to Hashem that it should be successful, that the store should have developed clients, that the business should develop clients, that we don't make a terrible mistake and lose all our business. We daven to Hashem for that. Avodas Habori is Baruch Hanenu Kein, but Avodas Hashem is not like that. We have the secret, we have the code, we have the Torah. We know already what's right and what's wrong, what to stay away from and what not to stay away from. The Yiedol Sanu, he informed us, Begmul, Ratzchar, Aleha. But if we make the terrible mistake of saying, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow, and I'll do the mitzvahs that Hashem sends my way, V'yim Nishanen Eilu B'Bechirasa, even if we daven to Hashem, that He takes us down the path of mitzvahs. He's soon going to ask. David HaMelech was constantly davening to Hashem to take him down the path of mitzvahs. We'll get to that. He says, but if you daven and you say, okay, Hashem, it's up to you, the niftach olav, and we have bitachon, we rely on Hashem to have me do the right thing when it's a question of right and wrong, mitzvah vera, you stay in bed and you say, you know, like that, whatever mitzvah Hashem will send my way, if Hashem sends me a chavrus, I'll learn. If He doesn't send me a chavrus, I'm not going to learn. And we rely on Hashem, we're very firm. We are making a very serious error, and we're being very, very foolish. We're misapplying midas habitachon. Just like, there's no atheist in a foxhole. There's no bitachon in a mitzvah. That's what Chavis Lubavitch is saying. There's no bitachon when it comes to mitzvahs. There's no bitachon. You don't rely on Hashem. You rely on yourself. Like the worst kind of words to use. He says that's foolishness and wrong. And he said, because Hashem already told you. Hashem said, Ubacharta Bachayim, this is right, this is wrong, these are mitzvahs, these are averus, so you know what to do. Go do it. Neshekvar Kodma Hodo Seinu, O son of Darka Yavoda, Asher Yoi Leinu Bolam Azeh, Ubaba. Kmo Shoma Begmul Olam Azeh, Vaitzvenu Hashem Lazus, Kol Achukim Ha'ele, Leiris Hashem Elokeinu, Letov Lonu Kol Hayomim. Oma Begmul Olam Haba, Utsaka, this is interesting, remember this pasuk, according to the Chavis Lubavitch, this alludes to Olam Haba. Utsaka Tiyolonu Ki Nishmar Lazus. The ode, another idea, he says, again, the same type of idea. Using something's a great idea, and it's wonderful, and it turns sour. And something you think is terrible and will never work, mishubachas. But by avoda n'aveira ain't okay. Now this packs a lot, because many times people do, unfortunately, averos, because they think there's a greater good involved. They think that it's kedai, so to speak. They think, yeah, you know. So that's wrong. Yeah.
So, does following Das Torah fit into mitzvahs? Or, take voting for the election. A lot of people felt it was like chocolate or vanilla. You know, like it's not.
Okay, but you know, but so then
if Das Torah says you should vote for X, does that become a mitzvah to vote for X? Which category?
Well, so there's a lot of questions in that. First of all, some of the elections are over, so I can speak freely. The idea of Das Torah, this is a massive topic. The idea of Das Torah is that we follow the guidance of people who are steeped in learning, who are Talmid HaChamim, who are big people, who don't have an agenda. That's the assumption. That the Dolan that you ask, or whoever you feel is your Das Torah, let's say you would say, Rabbi Munit is my Das Torah. You shouldn't say that unless you feel that I don't have a personal, I don't have any agenda. I don't have an agenda. I have an opinion, a Torah Dikashita, but that's not called an agenda. An agenda means a personal agenda. I'm not trying to further a personal agenda. And you would have to feel that I know the subject matter and that I'm steeped in Torah, etc., etc., etc. That's an idea that has been accepted by, we have a Masorah that's a case. You want to know, technically, do I have to listen to Das Torah? I really can't answer you. The literature world has accepted that we're mechuyev to, I would say you're more than mechuyev to. I don't know if you're mechuyev to, but you're a darn fool if you don't. Right? Because people are people, and people have personal agendas, and people have personal desires, and they put their personal desires, let's say, before the good of the klal. And, and then they could be making a mistake, and they don't have a mabat of Torah. There's a famous expression, das Torah, das balabayas is the opposite of das Torah. And so, it could be, I always say the worst avera in the world is to be a fool. That's the biggest avera. So I don't know if it's a technical mitzvah or not to listen to a gadol's how to act and what to do, but you're certainly foolish if you don't. Whether technically it's a mitzvah, I don't know, and how someone becomes your gadol and the person, because we could have different people saying different things. Just like you have in Shulchan Aruch, different, one person says Asur, one person says Mutter. We're able to handle that. A man can handle that a little easier because he learns Gemara, and every Amud Gemara, there's like 13 to 18 Machloiksen, right? So, you know, that's it. Baruch Hashem, the Hashem gave a Torah where the human mind is still very important to figure things out. Did I answer your question? Did I answer your question? What was your question? Is there a mitzvah to listen to Das Torah? I don't know if there's a technical mitzvah, but you're a darn fool if you don't. And the experience of life and of history has shown that most of the time, virtually all of the time, but we'll say most of the time, the people who listen to Das Torah are led correctly. Again, Das Torah means straight thinking, not having an agenda, because people don't even realize their own negius, they have negius. They have the way they want it to work out. So you say, so they think they're being objective, and they also, right, but they don't. So that's where the idea comes from. And again, to answer you, if it's a technical mitzvah, I don't know.
If you have no free choice on chocolate or vanilla, because Hashem maneuvers you.
No, this, the way, you're certainly supposed to listen to Das Torah. I mean, it's certainly in the, if it's not a chova like the mitzvah aveira, it's certainly what I said before. That certainly is the Ratzon Hashem. It's certainly in the chayvus halavavos of I want to do what's pleasing in the eyes of Hashem. And in the eyes of Hashem, there are leaders. Every generation has to has leaders. So we're not zochet to have that madrega. So you say every shul has a leader, or every tzibur has a leader. You have the Litvish Tzibur and the Hasidish Tzibur, so that's fine. That's okay. There's different Tziburs, and they should listen to their leaders. But the Bechira will come with the decision to listen to them, right? Not to go off on your own. I can't sit here and tell you it's a chiyuv. You know, like taking challah is a chiyuv and sitting in a sukkah is a chiyuv. I can't sit and say that. I don't know if it is. It's the Torah that deals with this is not really talking about what we call Das Torah. It's talking about paskening shilas and listening to the Beis Din, etc. But as I said, it's certainly a chayvus halvavos, and history has shown that the people that go off on their own are agenda ridden. The people that knock Das Torah are agenda ridden and are like Korach. So Korach comes and he says, "What are you listening to Moshe for? Kol Olam Kulam Kedoshim." But we have the insight of Rashi and of Chazal, so we know that what he really was saying was, "Why you listen to Moshe for? Listen to me." He wanted, right? That's what Om Ben Pelas' wife told Om Ben Pelas. He says, "What are you mixing in for? You're either going to be the lackey of Moshe or you're going to be the lackey of Korach. You're not gaining anything out of this whole deal, right? It's just a question of who's going to be." Right, like Animal Farm, you know, it's a question of who takes over. They're not really looking to make everybody equal. Korach's not really looking to make everybody equal, we know. Korach was just jealous, and he had this hidden agenda that he wants to be the leader. So that's usually the case. And my experience in my life is that's almost always the case. But the people who are, like, anti, who are the rabbis to tell us what to do, it's because, they want you to listen to them, not to the rabbi, that's all. And they are agenda-ridden, and they, more often than not, think they know better. Everybody thinks they know better than the rabbi. That's like a given. You can't become a rabbi unless everybody knows better than you. That's one of the job requirements is that everybody knows better than you what to do. Okay, let's go back to so he says, so you know, Achavodah Bavarin, okay, it's very clear cut. Again, he's explaining the logic. Even though, again, I don't see the need for the logic. I would just say, if it's Tov Ra, you have Bechira, and if it's not Tov Ra, you don't have Bechira, and if you don't have Bechira, it's up to Hashem. He gets into the kishkas of the logic, that you don't know what's good for you. How can you choose? What are you going to base your choice on? You're going to flip a coin? That's not choice. That's just, it's a cop-out. How do I know what to do? I'm going to flip a coin. That's not a choice. Abu Masha Roy Liftoach Ba. Now, okay, now he's going back to a mitzvah and the three parts of a mitzvah. And now he's saying, but whether you actually gave the schus to do a mitzvah, whether your money reaches the hand of a truly poor person, whether you get to the hospital in time to be mafakachola and the person is not sleeping, and you got there on time and the car didn't break down, you didn't get stuck in traffic, and you got there during visiting hours, this is all up to Hashem. Now we go back to bitachon, and we have to rely on Hashem for number three. Number one is the decision to do it, let's say, and number two we'll call the implementation of it. Number three is that it actually gets put together. It actually happens. That's what you have days of Hashem, that you didn't fall out of bed and break a leg and you're not paralyzed, and Hashem's and everything is from Hashem. Here, the Chavis Havodos implied before that you get schar though. In other words, you get the main schar is for the decision making process. Ubacharta b'chayim l'man tichyeh. But he said very clearly in last week's piece that you do get schar because it happened b'poel. You changed the world for the good. You effected a good thing in the world. So even though Hashem enabled it, you get schar for that more than the schar of just the decision. You get schar for the decision and you get schar because it happened and you're like, you bettered the world. So, that's, maybe we'll call it a gift, and maybe we'll say, since it's a totza'ah of his free will, so it's a deserved gift. Like a birthday. I'm sorry, I apologize. Nehemiah, I'm giving the Shar Bitachon Shir, and I just told everybody your question about how you don't feel good anymore about being Moshe Nefesh. And I'm in the middle of the shiur. Okay, thank you.
They just paid him?
No. You want to know what a good boy my son is? He gave me a ride last night because he came to help last night. He came from Yerushalayim because he has a car now. He rented a car. I rented him a car. So he came from Yerushalayim to help. And he brought people to the polls, and he was making phone calls, and he knows the Beis Tfila crowd, and they didn't. And he was able to say, don't bother calling that person, and this person, yes, call, etc. Then he took me home, and I lost something. So he called to tell me I shouldn't go crazy looking for it, it's in his car.
Oh.
He didn't want me to worry. That's a good boy. Baruch Hashem, B'li Ayim Hara. He's married already, ladies. If you have a daughter, not him. He's married with seven kids. That's why I got him a car for these days. Like he's going, trying to help him out here. So he says that you have to have bitachon. So that, it's not a freebie. I would call it a deserved gift. It's a gift, as you say, because you could have gotten stuck in traffic. You know, it didn't have, Hashem let it happen, so why should you get schar for it? On the other hand, he's very clear that you get schar for even number three. He said it, we learned it last week. He's very clear about that, and that's it's a good question. Why? And is it a gift? Maybe it's a gift, or maybe it's a deserved gift, because Hashem looks at you when he sees you really have ratzon. But you know, I'll tell you how far this goes. We'll stop here. I'll tell you how far this goes. In Shara Avas Hashem, Chavis Halbava says that we should realize, we should want to bring a carbon on the Beis HaMikdash. We should want to, I want to build a yeshiva, and, you know, I don't have the money, but I really want to. He says, because that's your bechira. So if you're just fantasizing and dreaming and a chanami, but if you really develop a desire, he says, you get schar. You get schar. And the Olei Hashem will work on a desire that can't be carried out. It'll never come to fruition in number three, because there is no Beis HaMikdash, or because I don't have money to set up a yeshiva, etc. But I really want to. Now that's hard, because Hashem knows if we're sincere or not, because if you just pay lip service and says, you know, I wish I could support every Kohel guy in Eretz Yisrael, you know, that's very nice. But if you really want to, he says you get schar, because that's all you really ever get schar for, because number three is always up to Hashem. Now it's very hard to be sincere if you don't have the wherewithal. Because if you don't have the wherewithal, it doesn't cost you anything to say, I want to do this, I want to do chesed, I want to build the Beis HaMikdash, I want to bring a karbon, I want to, you know, be a spiritual person. Because if you can't, but look how he's setting it up, and it's very logical. Chavzalovus is amazingly consistent in the whole Sefer. He says in Shara Abbas Hashem, the Oev Hashem will get schar. For if you, and I think this is a little more famous what I'm about to say, if you want to be Mekadesh Shemayim, even Yehoreg Val Yavar type, like Rabbi Akiva, he says, Kol Yomai, okay, here, there, he felt bad. He says, if you look in the Siddur, it always says in the small print, you say, I'm ready to be Mekadesh, to be Mosa Nefesh, right before you, so he says, that's real, he says in Shara Abbas Hashem. The Oev Hashem will develop their desire to do anything for Hashem. And therefore they'll get, and if it's true and real and sincere, but like, you just, it doesn't work out. You don't have time, even if you don't have time, because you have other obligations, because you're in the house, and you have kids. But you really would want to do chesed. And it is very real. I really would want to be that balas chesed that's, I want to have a house that's open for orachim, but you know, I don't have a big enough house. If it's real, he says, Shara Abbas Hashem, that's an offshoot of being Oev Hashem, and you'll get schar. Because you always only get schar for the choice and the desire. I'm saying it's easier to kid yourself if you can't do it, because it's a cost of gurnish, doesn't cost you anything. But that's the idea. I think we'll learn next week, Mitzvah Hashem. Wait, I'm confused. What's next week? Next week is after Purim, before the Chasana. Okay. I don't see, we could learn Wednesday, Lechora, and I think that'll be it to lift the Pesach, because Pesach is that big bugaboo. So.